You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
We will get to all our bets for Georgia and Alabama in the national championship game as we move along. Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper, is going to join us. Joey Kanish is going to join us. But we get to P2B2 right now. And before the breakdown of the individual games, we'll get to the Bengals and Raiders in a moment here. Let's talk about how the bracket kind of shook out. So we got on Saturday, Bengals-Raiders is the first game. Then we've got the Bills and the Patriots, right, on Saturday night. So two of the AFC games out of the way. Sunday, the first game is
out of the way. Take that, AFC.
I mean, the NFC games are...
Let's just get those out. Let's just get those out of the way right now.
I mean, are the NFC games not a million times better? I mean, they just are.
Way better.
Bucks-Eagles, first game on Sunday. Cowboys-Niners, which is just like, it's going to have like do an infinity rating on Sunday afternoon.
Right. It was destined for 420 on Sunday. Yeah.
Yep. Chiefs-Steelers Sunday night, and then Rams-Cardinals. We saw this game on Monday night like a month ago or like 5 weeks ago. Yeah. Now we'll get it on Monday night again. This time
hopefully
it'll be
less
in Los Angeles.
COVID people. Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah. Hopefully Jalen Ramsey just get ruled out 10 minutes before the game starts or whatever, like we saw happen last time. So, and then Rams Cardinals on Monday night, winners and losers, Ken, of the results yesterday and how the bracket shook out.
Interesting to note that, especially on the AFC side, you and I did the playoff sim for, I think it was 4 or 5 weeks in a row, basically. Guesses about if the playoffs ended today, what would the matchups be? What would the lines be? Last year, I remember doing it. And I remember as we got close to the end of the season, we ended up with a ton of the matchups that we had simmed and talked about. And I think it actually made it easier to have the conversations that week about the playoff games because it was the conversation that we'd been having for 3 or 4 weeks running about every single game. This year, we sim, the matchup changed. We sim, we talk about it, we talk about it, we talk about it. And then we get to this week and I'm like, yeah, we didn't do a lot of these. And mostly because... Pittsburgh,
the Colts and the Chargers didn't make it. Yeah.
Pittsburgh and Vegas find themselves in the tournament, and that's going to mix up everything, obviously, as a result of what happened. So if we're talking about just winners and losers, I mean, the obvious winners are just like the Raiders got to make the playoffs. That's a big win for them.
And also
they got to make it.
Kansas City by winning last night.
So and that was an important note about the tie. People noted like, OK, well, even if they were playing for the tie, that'd be stupid because now they get to play Cincinnati instead of Kansas City. And yeah, are they going to be in miserable shape potentially playing overtime and playing a Saturday game in the earliest time slot against Cincinnati? Yes, but I'd rather play Cincinnati than Kansas City. So Vegas is just
Rich,
a general
you think
winner.
Rich, yeah. You think Rich Bisaccia cares? No. I'm a Rich Bisaccia, and I'm a coach no matter what.
I hope we win. So the Raiders are obviously a winner, but that's like really, really surface level. In terms of the teams that were kind of already in the tournament, I think things broke really well for a few teams and things broke poorly for a couple teams. Teams where the tournament broke really well for them. Tampa, it would be the most easy to identify candidate on planet Earth in terms of a team that had something break well for them. It was possible that Tampa was not only going to have to play a difficult first round game, but then they were going to have to a wild card round to say that. Then if they won that game, it was very likely they would be, you know, depending on the winners and losers, but they would be very likely to have to go to Green Bay to play the Packers off of a double bye, basically. Or I guess it was a bye because Rodgers played pretty late yesterday to play Green Bay at their place and then have to play the championship game. And now Tampa finds themselves likely based on, again, we go by projected spreads and money lines and who is likely to advance. Tampa finds themselves within pretty easy first round matchup from a spread standpoint. Now you could like Philly in the game. That's fine. But from a spread standpoint, this is about as good as it was going to get. And so they get Philly. Green Bay is on the opposite side in all likelihood.
Avoid Lambeau until champion. 100% avoid Lambeau until championship Sunday.
In all likelihood, it is going to play out where Green Bay, and the way this projects is really, so we'll do the NFC first in terms of winners and losers. So Dallas and Tampa seem likely to avoid going to Green Bay early. and seem more likely to have to go there for the championship game by virtue of being the 2 and the 3 seed. That seems like where we're headed in terms of the NFC side. If you were looking for a loser on the NFC side, it would have to be the Rams, who lose to the San Francisco 49ers. They have to play the Cardinals, which I don't think is a picnic in the first round. And then if Tampa and Dallas both win their games and they're favored to win, now the Rams have to go.
Oh, hey, Rams fans. Yes, if you enjoyed going to Lambeau and getting your asses kicked by the Packers last January, you're going to love it this January. I'm not saying that's definitely going to happen, but
and so the narrative,
not how the Rams drew it up.
Right. The narrative around that. So you have a really, if we project this out just with likely winners in the NFC, just really quick, you will end up with divisional rounds of Rams at Green Bay off a bye. So the obvious storyline in that game is not just like the dominance of the Packers, but this was a game that took place last year. The Rams hated their quarterback. Now they've got the guy that they want, and now they go back to the same place again
and try
to
win a game.
And as a side note, they also have Cam Akers. And then in the other side, the matchup you are very likely to get is a rematch, even in terms of where the game is played, of literally the first game of the regular season, which is Dallas at Tampa Bay, where Tampa Bay closed a little bit under a 10-point favorite.
Yeah,
game went down to the
wire.
A
little bit of a different betting market, I think, this time than the 8.5 was favored by in the opener.
A bit. If Dallas can get by San Francisco, that's the one that really everything hinges on in terms of where teams go. So Green Bay and the Rams, Dallas, Tampa would be your very likely division round. Just based on who would be favored, we would still be the most likely NFC championship game is still Tampa Bay at Green Bay, which is a rematch, obviously, of the championship game last year. But Dallas, Green Bay would be very not far behind in terms of likelihood of an event occurring. Either of those games are A++++ exceptional experiences, and I hope we get either of them. Would be awesome. On the AFC side, if we talk about teams that won, quote-unquote won, as a result of how the bracket came out.
Bengals, right?
The funny thing is, it's like everybody... Like, everybody won in, like, a weird way.
Well, the Colts and Chargers are better, right? Are better than the two teams that made it. And
we
the Raiders beat the Chargers, but, like, if you ask the teams that made it, if you ask the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Titans, who would you have rather had make the playoffs, the Colts and the Chargers or the Raiders and the Steelers? They would have 100% said the Raiders and the Steelers.
Awesome. So I just thought all of that was, honestly, like, really interesting. And when you're looking at futures markets, that's obviously an important thing to keep in mind. It's not that the matchups are set. It's not a traditional bracket. Lowest teams who win, as in was seeded like 5, 6, 7, for example, you know, if Philly wins, that upsets obviously who goes where. Philly would go to Green Bay in that situation. If the Raiders end up beating the Chiefs, they obviously go play Tennessee instead.
What a terrible game.
Saturday 4:30. I mean, just mark that one down right now. So, just the idea of
that's not
what
true.
Is likely.
I think that stuff is locked in advance. Like where? Like,
oh, you think because the networks have their windows set up already that we know for sure who it's going to be. Like who the conferences are going to be.
I think that's true. I think we will know like the days that Green Bay and Tennessee are playing on before next weekend.
All I will say is there was a graphic before the matchups were set. And this was on NFL and Sunday Night Football early, like on the pre-show. And the times were slotted and the network was Fox, NBC, or ESPN. Like they didn't even have a network.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think it was set as far in advance as we think it was set. Like, and at least because there's no reason for them to like surprise us with what network it's on. If they knew the network, they'd promote it. Like they'd be obligated to promote it. The league would want them to promote it. The networks would want them to promote it.
I texted you yesterday, Scott, can you check on this please? Cause like the graphic that NBC was running during Sunday Night Football said that CBS had the 4:30 game on Sunday afternoon. Now CBS obviously has the AFC package. Is CBS doing the Niners Cowboys? I mean, I don't care. I just think it's interesting from like a broadcasting perspective. Like it doesn't matter which channel the game is on. So apparently Scott's saying yes. So that'll be the Nance Romo game. I'm sure we'll be,
which is just weird too, by the way, that they get to do that game.
Also Romo sucks now. Like he used to like, I don't know. I don't really even like watching him anymore. Just personal. Okay, here we go.
The other thing that changes is because ESPN gets its traditional Monday night game because that's the package that it has. It doesn't do the Saturday early game, which it always used to do. Going back, like ABC even used to do like the Saturday early game sometimes.
Like Tom Hattin.
So that's right. That was the NBC B team was Hammond would do. I mean, he definitely did a Seattle game a bunch of Saturdays.
Looking like his face was being held together by masking tape. Those were
who was the analyst who would do the games with him? Hammond and
I want to say it was like a former Bengals quarterback, not Boomer Esiason. I'm gonna look this up. Bob Trumpy might be right.
Okay. It's possible. I couldn't tell you. Honestly, I have no idea. But NBC
right, actually.
NBC, well, so this begs the question to close the segment. NBC has the first game, 4:35 p.m. on Saturday.
Oh, it was Mayock.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. Yep.
No,
okay.
But Mayock didn't do every game. I'm pretty
sure. That's the most recent.
Else.
It was the most recent NBC Hammond experience, I think, was Mayock. I don't think that would have gone backwards that much. Vegas Cincy, 4:35 on Saturday. Are they playing the carry open? It's Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Do they tape new ones? Do they have new liners for that? Is it like an abbreviated open with not everything in it? And then they run the full one on Sunday night?
Well, Bengals Raiders is nasty.
It's nasty, and I don't know if we're going to get nasty. We might get nothing. We might get like an abbreviated open or some kind of modified open.
How about Raiders Chargers was nasty last night?
The upset of the century. Almost, I mean, tie game with that would have paid $1,000,000 to 1.
It warmed my soul to get so many tweets from people being like, nasty showdown.
Got more tweets on that than any bet I've given out in the last year, basically.
Hammond worked with Theismann and Joe Gibbs.
Mm.
Chris Collinsworth. Feel like I'm missing one here.
That guy all never right. amounted to anything.
Anyway, yeah, I'll take
what about point. Jack Collinsworth?
What about him? Speaking of Mike Zimmer. On the other side, B squared for Wild Card Weekend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Oh, bring it up, Snake. It's now time. Time is here. Ken Barkley's time to shine. Football Monday, You Better You Bet. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you on the BetQL Network. Joey Kadish coming up next hour. Drew Dinsick, the whale capper, next hour. Lots of P squared, B squared. One item to clean up. Ken and I both got the seed wrong. This happens sometimes.
Bad job by us, honestly. Yeah. I had them written down wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, I did too, to be fair. So the Bills are the 3 seed, so Buffalo would have to play Kansas City in the second round if both those teams win. So yeah.
So they still won in that their opponents probably get easier, but if we're really talking about winners and losers, the Titans are the incredible winner if the bracket shakes out like that. I had it written down wrong. That's my fault.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, imagine the Titans just get it. Like, how much luckier could this team be?
Titans very likely get Cincinnati, and then Buffalo and KC play each other, and they get the winner. So, yeah, everything's actually broken very well for them.
Like that's the AFC championship game.
Buffalo, KC in the divisional round.
Buffalo, KC in the divisional round.
Could the Titans get a limping winner of that game at their place and win?
I don't want to see the Titans in the Super Bowl. I just don't.
Green Bay, Tennessee.
Terrible.
Well, what is the hook in that game even?
Rodgers.
It's just like a celebration of the Packers, basically.
It's Rodgers.
It's Rodgers against like this scrappy underdog team, basically.
And then like the numbers inflated and we bet the Titans and we're miserable.
Yeah, what would I? Oh man, I would have Green Bay a lot over. Well, let's see when we get there. I would have Green Bay a lot over Tennessee.
Seven?
Maybe like six. It's neutral, remember? So I mean, like six.
5.5?
No, I bet Green Bay at 5.5.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
That doesn't mean it can't be. I would just bet them. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that's bad job by us. So just to reiterate, the Bills are the 3 seed. If Buffalo and Kansas City both win, that is the locked in matchup in the divisional round, and they're both likely to win. At least Kansas City is a massive favorite against the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, so let's get to it now. We'll break down every game. So we want to do this chronological order, right? So we'll start with the two Saturday games.
Oh, yeah. Order of various nasty and division showdowns and righteous showdowns. And it just, you know, has to be in chronological order.
All right, so like I don't want to do the division showdown thing for the division game that we have, which is only one of them, right? Which is just the Bills and Patriots too. So we will have to guess like which would you say it is, righteous or nasty for all these games? So P squared, B squared, Super Wild Card weekends in the National Football League. Jake, kindly drop that YBYB recommends. I don't want to say it's the most Sunday 4:30 or Saturday 4:30 matchup we've ever had, because it's not like we've had like
no, because the Houston Texans games aren't involved. Yeah,
or like Connor Cook's not involved, or like right. TJ Yates isn't involved. So like it's not the most Saturday 4:30 game, but it's up there.
It's the most Saturday 4:30 game of the year.
Yeah, Hoyer was a good one too. Who did the Texans get creamed by in that game? By Andrew Luck and the Colts, right? I'm pretty sure that was the game. I think they shut them. I don't know if they shut them out, but they killed them in that game, Indianapolis.
Well, that used to be, it's been the Texans a lot, and it was the Andy Dalton Bengals. They were a staple the first couple of years of that. They played Houston twice, I believe, and lost both times.
Well, they lost to TJ Yates, and then they lost to like to JJ Watt, basically, who like
JJ Watt, Andy, who had like the one hand pick six, right? That was in the Yeah, God, that was in Vegas for that game, I think. That was like, what year was that? 11? Something like that?
I don't know, man. It all bleeds together.
I remember that the Saturday night game that followed that was Stafford in New Orleans against Breeze and the Saints, and Breeze covered and the game went over.
Yes, 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 that is what happened. And then who did the Saints Sunday lose games, to?
I don't know, but the Sunday games that weekend, I think your team played Atlanta at 1 o'clock that year.
Oh, this is 2011.
And that's Tebow in the 4 o'clock.
Oh yeah. So
that's
yeah,
11.
So the next, yeah, right. The Giants beat the Falcons 27-2.
Yep.
The next week, the Giants beat the Packers, the Niners beat the Saints, and the Giants beat the Niners in the NFC Championship game. And I was there. And that morning, I was at John Madden's house. So the story you might have heard at some point over the last
because week. I was there. Yeah.
And it was pretty awesome. Okay. All odds courtesy of Bet Rivers, New York.
Whoa.
The line at Bet Rivers, there you have it, my home state. The line at Bet Rivers, New York, for the Bengals and the Raiders on Saturday afternoon, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Basically like Bengals 6.25, or in between 6 and 6.5 right now. It's been ping-ponging back and forth all day. It's close to 6.5. We can call it 6.25, right? Bengals in between 6 and 6.5. Total is 49. Now, these two teams played back on November 21st in Vegas. Bengals closed a 2-point favorite. Total was 50.5. Since he killed the Raiders in that game, although if I remember correctly, I didn't bet the game. I was waiting for a 3 with Vegas and thankfully never got it. Like some turnover luck went the Bengals' way. I am not trying to retroactively say the Raiders should have won. Just that's my memory of the game. The Bengals won, but I don't think the final score was like extremely indicative of what actually happened in the game. Bengals won 32-13. And again, now 6 or 6.5 against the Raiders, total of 49. Ken, pen, pencil, blood, or blank for the first game of Wild Card Weekend.
I don't think I'm going to have any blood on the line in these games. So I'll do this here and I won't do it again. Just like an overarching kind of a thing with these 6 games we're going to go over. I love betting on playoff NFL games, obviously, because who wouldn't? It's like a red-blooded American thing to do. It's amazing. I love watching the games. I love betting on them. I do not view playoff NFL games, for the people listening, as some kind of massive money-making opportunity. Like, the millions are just out there waiting for you to come bet these playoff games and get it. I view Week 18 as a much better betting opportunity than playoff games for the purposes of, like, bet sizing or feeling confident about a number edge or, like, sort of being able to logic your way through some of the games because of, like, inflated numbers with motivation or whatever. These games don't work like that. It's going to be pretty easy in all six cases for me to get really close to this number and understand why the number is what it is. Both teams are all in. There isn't really, like, a travel concern or a spot concern for any team, except for Vegas probably would be the only one. There aren't even a lot of injury concerns in these games versus the conversations we've had to have a lot of the week. There are going to be injuries in the games, but, like, we've had some crazy injury conversations throughout the course of the season, and we really have those in a bunch of games unless Kansas City releases an insane injury report with Kelce and Tyreek Hill later this week. So, like, I think I'm just going to start by saying, like, I don't think any number's crazy off where, like, oh my God, I can't believe it's this. And I am still going to bet on probably every single game, and I'm going to try to logic my way through and figure it out. Anyway, in this game, I think I know why Cincinnati's favored by so much, but I also disagree with it. Like, I can get to this number, and I can, it's not that difficult to get to. It's basically a lot built in for home field advantage in the playoffs, which is going to be true, by the way, in every game that we talk about. There is absolutely more home field built into all six of these games than there is in a regular season game. It's not possible. And I know because I ran my numbers without the playoff home field advantage, and I would be on every road team by a lot, like every situation, like, I would definitely be on the Niners, and I'm definitely not now. I would definitely be on the Raiders for my life savings, and I'm definitely not now. So more is built into these. Also, the Raiders played Sunday Night Football, played like a million snaps, went to overtime, and traveled to play a Saturday game. So if it's like, well, how could this be this number? I get it. Like, my number in the game is between 4 and 4.5. Can I get to 6, 6.5? Based on what I just said? Sure, like, I get why it's that. I get why this number is what it is. Like, I understand that, but it's also assuming that the Bengals, with Zach Taylor as their coach and Joe Burrow, who has never played a playoff game, are going to build and maintain a very large lead against a team that's playing pretty well right now. And, like, that's kind of something I want to push back against. So I think it is extremely likely I will be on the Raiders in this game. But number edges and those kind of things are less likely to come into play for me here than just kind of just my intuition about the games.
I tried really hard to get the number up this close, and, like, I guess, like, I could get it to 6, maybe, Ken. 5.5 was really, like, my stopping point, but I guess, like, we could get to 6.
I think you could get to 6 pretty easily. I really do.
6.5?
You're trying to quantify something that's, like, not entirely quantifiable, which is, like, the Bengals were able to rest Burrow plus stay at home, like, stay in their, you know, state, basically, and the Raiders have this setup of how last week went and this. So, like, we don't really know what that's supposed to be worth in terms of, like, key numbers or win probability. So that's my point, was just not that that gets me to exactly 6.5, but just that I see how we get to where we are in the market based on what's happened.
I'm going to bet the Raiders. 6.5 is going to be the number. I'm definitely going to bet them.
Sure.
I kind of think Max Crosby and the pass rush is going to wreck the game. I think this game's going to be pretty close. I definitely push back against the idea of Zach Taylor in a spot like this. Not that the Bengals can't win the game, but the conversation is not, are the Bengals going to win? The conversation is, are they going to win by a touchdown? Like, that's the bet. Or are they going to win by 6 points to push a bet or potentially lose one? It's not, are they going to win the game? I think they're going to win. I think they're probably going to win. I think it's going to be close. That's been the profile of this Raiders team. Like, they've got a little mojo right now. And I know you can't quantify something like mojo, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, well, that's like a great handicapping angle. But I mean, at this number, it's the Raiders. It's the silver and black. It's pride and poise. It's commitment to excellence. Just cover, baby. Do it for Al. Do it for John. Cover the spread, Raiders. And, you know, do it for me.
Well, yeah, and I think there's a couple things in the profile of the Raiders that are a little interesting. One is, when we get to Eagles-Bucks, something you are going to hear to death this week is that the Eagles have never this season recorded a game that was what's going to be required to beat Tampa Bay. Like, everyone's going to talk about their record against over 500 and under 500 teams, and that's not wrong, but you're going to hear that a lot in that game. If that matters to you, it should interest you that the Raiders have actually shown us a couple different games this year that are absolutely of a, if you kind of give each game a score and it's like, that's what it's going to take, almost like a golfer to win a tournament. Well, they're going to have to shoot 25 under. Has anybody ever done that? Oh, those guys have done it. They can win. Has an NFL team given you a game score in a road game that's like worthy of consideration here? And the Raiders are giving you two. They gave you the Colts in week 17 and they gave you the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And they gave you those games. Like, not every team goes to Dallas and Indy. We were probably two of the top nine rated teams in the league. And again, he's probably between 8 and 10 and win those games. So you'd actually, you know, it's not like you feel great about overtime flying to play a playoff game and you're the Raiders, but it's really not like, it's not a bad team to have in this spot, honestly, against a team like Cincinnati at this number. So I think that's kind of interesting. I would also argue, I think if I group this game, even though the spreads are not totally identical and the win probabilities aren't the same, if I group this game with Buffalo, New England and Rams, Arizona, I think the Raiders are more likely to win this game than the other two underdogs.
And the spread
is larger. Yeah. Game with a lot more volatility because of the first time playoff nature of every single player involved in the game, basically.
I don't know if I agree with the second part of that. I agree with the Bills Patriots one though.
Oh, I think the Raiders are more likely to win than Arizona. Definitely.
I kind of like Arizona.
I would bet Vegas to win way before I would bet Arizona to win that game. Okay. Not that Arizona can't cover.
The conversation we'll have is about Arizona covering the spread for sure here. So where do you think this point spread goes?
Well, you sort of have two things pushing against it. Well, the end all be all to the answer is it's going to go where the injury report takes us. That's where it's going to go when we don't know the answer to that question, basically. The Bengals obviously rested players. They had Joe Mixon on the COVID list.
They activated him today.
Right. They had a bunch of issues, which we don't think will be a factor this week, was sort of my point. And with the Raiders, we'll see. Now, you see, I watched the game on a delay the next morning. Was there like, did I miss a second half impactful injury in that game that I'm sort of glossing over here just to sort of put it on the table?
I mean, because I was watching the game and I was like live tweeting the game the entire time. One of their players got hurt at some point. I think it was an offensive lineman, but I'm not 100% sure.
So the line is going to move where the injury report takes us for the most part, even now that we've gotten to this point. Now, where is it more likely to go, up or down? I think there are two things pushing against each other in this game. Making like sort of a raw power rating number on the game, in my opinion, you can never get here. So does that push interest toward the Raiders? Like, this is not the true difference between the teams. Or do you have all of the things that are unique to this exact game taking place on January 15th, which is the status that the Raiders come into the game in? Overtime, fly cross country, play Saturday. Like, those two things are pushing into each other here. And I think I've seen this number, like it was 6.5. I saw it get bet to 6 and I was like, all right, here we go. Like, I guess people kind of agree with me maybe that like getting the 6 is valuable, goes up to 6.5 again. There's sort of ping pong nature around this number. I think it's kind of interesting. And I think it's interesting that it stayed here despite the fact that this is a little bit artificially inflated, I think, because of the Raiders spot, basically, if you want to put it that way.
You would bet the Raiders down to what number?
I mean, not much longer. Like I think 6.5 is like a really good bet on the Raiders.
I agree.
I think even 6, I'm kind of like, yeah, like because it's playoff football, but okay.
No, and 5.5.
Then after that, no shot. Yeah. After that, no shot. Well, I'm pretty close to that even without all this extra stuff factored in.
We'll never hit a 7 out unless like we get like injury information, which would be like a good reason for it to get.
It depends on what people value, right? Like maybe they don't value the same thing I do. Maybe they think this is the most insanely good spot for the Bengals ever because of the status the Raiders come into the game in. That could drive the price up. I don't think that's going to happen, but it doesn't mean it can't happen. Everyone's sort of thinking about the game in a different way, right? Trying to unpack it in a different way.
All right, sounds like Ken and I are going to be on the same side of this game. We both like the Raiders coming up against the Bengals. May God have mercy on our souls. Coming up next, we will dive into the second game on Wild Card, Super Wild Card Saturday, and that is a rematch of a game that we've seen twice here in the last like a month or so or 5 weeks or so, the Patriots and the Bills from Western New York. An interesting point spread there. We'll break it down, our thoughts and our bets on the other side. Power hour, final hour. All our bets for Georgia and Alabama in the national championship game. Side total and props. NBA, NHL, College Hoops. Joey Kanish and Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper, coming up next hour on the show. But for now, we continue our breakdown of a super wild card weekend in the NFL. P squared, B squared. Jake, please bring up the recommends. Now, because Ken and I are doing the show on Saturday and Sunday morning this week, getting you set to bet on all the games on Saturday, Sunday, and then on Monday, we are both taking days off during the week. So I will be off tomorrow. It'll be Ken and Nick Ashew. And then Ken will be off Wednesday, and it will be myself and Mark Melusa. So this is Ken and my last show together until Thursday. So we're going to make sure we get through every single game in Wild Card Weekend here today with our initial thoughts. So for now, let's go to Saturday night, where we've got the Bills and the Patriots. If part two is part duh, what would part three be? Just part three? Part three?
Well, part trois, right? That's the French for three.
I don't want to say that.
Un de trois?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. The line for Bills Patriots part trois at our show sponsor, it sounds filthy, at our show sponsor Bet Rivers. The Bills basically like -4.25 in between 4 and 4.5. So Buffalo, a 4 or 4.5 point favorite against the Patriots. The total here is 43. These two teams played Monday night, December 6th in Buffalo in the Winter Wonderland snow globe game. Buffalo was the 3-point favorite. Total was 40. Then they met up in New England on Sunday, December 26th. The Patriots closed a small favorite, closed -1. Total 43.5. Now, playoffs in Buffalo. Bills 4.5. 43.5. Ken, pen, pencil, blood, or blank?
I think it's going to be blank. I haven't quite decided yet. It's going to be blank, or it's going to be pencil Buffalo if this number starts getting a little out of hand and dropping. Now there are some fours on the board, which makes me like start being interested in Buffalo. This is one of many games. Can I ask you a question? Because we did Cincinnati Vegas. It's the only game we've done so far. And I don't mean this to ruin the rest of the games. I actually think it enhances the first game more. Is Vegas your favorite bet of all the games we're going to talk about?
I don't know if it's my favorite. I think it's the one that I feel most confident in. How about that?
Okay. That's a different way of framing it. Sure. It is also the one that I am the most confident in of the games that we're going to go through. Maybe by a lot. Which kind of shows you like how we feel about that game.
I mean, there's one other game. It's one of the Sunday games that I like almost as much.
Okay.
And maybe, but how about this? How about this though? I think it's more of like my personal thought as opposed to, I feel like I've got some kind of edge on this game. It's more like, I just think something's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I don't have a huge edge on Vegas when we factor in all of the travel and spot stuff and the first meeting between the teams. And that's kind of what leads me to my analysis of this game with a lot of the games that are being played. So Vegas, Cincy, New England, Buffalo, Philly, Tampa, Pitt, Kansas City, Arizona. So really just San Francisco, Dallas, you don't have as much of a decision to make. How much are you valuing the first meeting between the teams or the first and second meetings between the teams? Closing spread or result of the game? I mean, Cincinnati blew out Vegas, the final score, which you mentioned maybe was a little misleading, but that did happen. Kansas City blew out Pittsburgh. Buffalo in the sort of the more authentic playing of the game between the teams where weather did not ruin what the sport was going to be. Beat New England. Josh Allen was exceptional. They played in Foxborough. Like, how much are you valuing that versus your overall sense of what the team is, basically? And in every game we're going to talk about almost, and the national championship game tonight in college football, of all things, that's part of the analysis, is like, how much are you weighting one versus the other? It is not possible, I think, for my number in the game to be anything what it is in the market. My number's between 4 and 4.5. How could it be anything else, honestly, based on what we've seen so far, based on the fact we have two closing markets for these teams, one recently where weather was less involved, and very little has changed since then. There are not incredibly impactful injuries that have taken place recently with both teams. Now, there were impactful injuries that took place earlier in the season, but like, we're always going to get to about this number. So it's really just kind of, do you have an angle that you like?
You don't think it's a smidge high? You know, and I'm not saying that's
my number's 4.3 to give you an idea of how we're between the two numbers, just to give you an idea of where
I was in between 3.5 and 4.
I think I've also told you a couple times that I have the Patriots rated really highly now, and I've had for a while as a result of that run that they went on and how the market kind of viewed them in the back half of the season, even though they have not played as well in the last few weeks of the year. So I'm always going to value market data versus on-field performance. They both matter. One matters more than the other for me. And if on-field performance matters for you a lot, then your decisions this week get really interesting because the Patriots have not played very well, and it would lead you to believe that maybe they are not very valuable in this game. I can totally see that argument. I'm going to rely more on the market data in that situation than on on-field performance, although I will consider both. So I'm going to be really close to this number, honestly. And I think when we get to a couple other, like the Rams of Arizona played twice. Am I really going to be far off in that game? Is anybody going to be that far off in that game? We're talking about small, small differences, I think, or something unique to this playing of the game that's going to make it way different. Could be a player, could be something about how each team is playing right now. There could be a variety of reasons to approach the game that way. So my number is very similar. I do not think I will bet the game right now. I would consider, depending on the prices as we get close to kickoff, thinking about it way more, I would consider putting Buffalo money line with something else.
Agreed.
In that type of a two-team parlay situation, partially to create action, but partially, like, I could talk myself into the fact that they're more likely to win the game more often than the market expects, even -200. If it figures to be a low right scoring close line. Game. Right, low scoring close game. Do I want the four? Maybe not. Do I want 4.5? Maybe not. But Buffalo to win, and we could talk about what to necessarily put it with. I think there are a couple other options, ways to play around with things in the toolbox, teasers, money line parlays, etc., to create something interesting.
If you had to bet the side in this game, which would you be more likely to bet, Buffalo or New England, if the number is going to be around four?
Four, Buffalo. 4.5, I don't even think I can answer, honestly. Four, I would consider making a small bet on Buffalo at the number. Four minus 110. 4.5, not really interested.
I actually think I might be a little likely to take the Patriots if the number keeps getting up there, but I think we're kind of sharing a brain right now where I don't think I'm going to have a bet on this game at the current number. Like, it's very close. I think Buffalo's likely to win. I think they're likely to win by a little more than 3 points, and I don't know if there's going to be anything to do with this here. It's kind of sad because I'd really make a strong case one way or the other.
Oh, of course. And it's a playoff game, right? You wish you had a strong take on it. I totally understand that. But compare it to like a week 18 game, where I mentioned week 18 can be a really valuable opportunity to either live bet or play underdogs or do some of the things that we did that were very successful. Think about how much uncertainty was in some of the week 18 games, right? Like Cincinnati-Cleveland. Think about all of the uncertainty in that game with nobody playing, and we were questioning the motivation of Cleveland even, and the quarterbacks we had no idea about, like Brandon Allen and Case Keenum. If you were to like 1 to 10, what is the uncertainty in that game? It's a 10. And it's like, to me, those are the games that tend to create valuable betting opportunities. These two teams have played twice recently, and there's like no new injury information which would cause me to deviate from what I want to do. What's the uncertainty in this game? One. So like what is the likelihood there's some insane edge that's being missed as a result of that? That's one of the things sometimes about playoff games when you have previous meetings, especially recent ones. I think it can be really tough to like kind of convince yourself that there's a lot to do here.
Agreed. Yeah, so would like to make a case one way or the other. Don't think I can.
Excited to watch the game. Game matters a ton. High stakes, obviously. Just you know, from a betting standpoint, it's tough.
I actually think I would be more likely to bet the Patriots, Ken, than the Bills in this game. At the number.
Are we talking about at four or are we talking about at 4.5?
4.5.
So I think you and I are actually almost on the exact same page. At 4.5, I don't want to bet Buffalo and I don't want to bet the game. So we're basically like in between 4 and 4.5 for what would trigger us to bet one side or another.
I would bet Buffalo 3. Now, I don't think it's ever going to be there, but I would bet Buffalo -3.
Can I frame this game a little differently using some other tools in the toolbox?
Sure.
What bet appeals to you more? Buffalo money line paired with something? Or Patriots 10.5 paired with something?
Probably Buffalo money line, because I think like the Buffalo beat them badly in the meeting in New England. It actually,
okay,
like I think they won the game by 15, and they really should have won the game by like 35.
What appeals to you more, over 30 or under 56?
Oh, I see where we're going here.
Well, that's leads to your. I haven't heard your catchphrase yet. Is it coming next game? When are we going to get it?
So. I mean, I don't know if I was planning on doing it here. Today at least. Maybe we're saving it for Thursday. But yeah, I mean, hear me out. I mean, Bills plus 17. Or Patriots plus 17. Please.
Hear me out. Raiders plus 19.5.
I'd love it. How about Patriots plus 17.5? Plus 17?
Belichick just going to get mopped in a game at Buffalo. That's what could happen.
That's the other thing, man. I trust Buffalo does that a lot more than I trust Sean McDermott.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's one of the things that make the Patriots an interesting bet in the game. Obviously, you have to have a coaching mismatch. It's like just has to be the case.
So we'll see where this market kind of develops over the course.
Sure.
Of the week. So we're two games in. We definitely like one side. We're not so sure on the other one here. So we're 1-for-2 right now. Let's see if we can make it 2-for-3. You bet BetQL Network. Magnificent Football Monday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, Pete Squared, B Squared. Super wild card weekend in the National Football League. We got another rematch of a game we saw earlier in the year in primetime. The Buccaneers hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. So Tampa, the big winner here, as we discussed in the first hour of the show. Tampa is an 8.5-point favorite in this game. The total is 49. These two teams met on a Thursday night in Philadelphia back on October 22nd. Ken and I both lost on this game.
We remember this game very well. Talking about with Tampa, Rob Pizzola last night.
Yeah. Tampa was a 6.5-point favorite, and I forget what the total was, like 49.5 or something. I had the under.
Yeah, I think it was higher. I think it was 53, actually. I can go back and check. I'm almost positive it was in the low 50s.
Well, whatever it was, you lost on the side, and I lost on the total at like the very end.
I think it landed 49, maybe, or 51.
Oh, no, I had the over.
Yes.
And the end of the game where like the Bucs would have kicked a field goal if they didn't get that first down by a yard.
They got a first down.
You would have covered
result,
and I would have gone over. Yeah, correct. That's really annoying. So Tampa closed 6.5 in that game in Philadelphia, but that was also over 2 months ago. So now we find ourselves in the beginning of January here, and the Bucks are 8.5 at home against Philly. Total here is 49. Eagles, of course, rest Jalen Hurts and other players on Saturday night, while the Bucks played to win and did and covered yesterday on Sunday against Sam Darnold and the Panthers. Pen, pencil, blood, or blank, Tampa 8.5 against Philly, total of 49. I think I'm going to have a bet on this game.
Well, that's good to hear. I don't know if I will. And if I apply playoff home field to Tampa and sort of reason my way through it a little bit, this was I went over only two games on the had fun on the Twitter space last night with Rob Pizzola, who we have on the show all the time. And I just said, I actually didn't even know the matchups. I came on right after I put the kids to bed and I go, do you have the matchups? Can you give them to me? And I'm just going to tell you what my computer spits out before I think about the number at all, before I apply different home field. And I think I was between 6.5 and 7 without ramping up the home field in this game, like I have done for basically every game on the schedule. So I think about that, right? 6.5, 7 before we consider it's a playoff game. Before we consider it's a playoff game, and that it features a team quarterbacked by Tom Brady against a team that hasn't beaten a team over that made the playoffs this year. I believe the splits for so Philadelphia went 9-8, right? So they were 9-0 against teams that did not make the playoffs, bad teams, and 0-8 against teams that did make the playoffs. That's their split so far this year. So if you consider Brady versus that and home field in a playoff game, and my number is a little under 7, I think you get here pretty easily. I actually don't think it's that much of a stretch at all. When Rob and I first talked about it last night, I was like, man, that's a really high number. He told me the opener was like 8.5, 9. And I was like, it seems like pretty high. And he goes, yeah, Philly's going to get bet at that number. Definitely. And we saw that in a couple places, but it hasn't really been like this avalanche of money. I think this game's existing in the right spot. Anything from 7.5 to 9.5 almost functions as the same number, basically. If we're in that zone, I think we're in the right zone probably. And then we have to figure out how to approach the game, for me at least, using kind of the toolbox of other types of bets to create some stuff. Is it Tampa teasers to win? Is it their money line with something? Maybe you do like the Eagles, you know, against the spread at a big number. So just some things worth considering there. But I am curious now what your bet is going to be on the game.
I think I like the Eagles if the number's going to be this high.
Why do you like the Eagles?
I feel like the number's too high.
So I guess when these teams played the first time, the Eagles did cover the game, which is worth noting. Tampa got out to a big lead, and it seemed like watching the game, not even from a score standpoint, it seemed like there was a massive difference between the two teams watching the game. It seemed like there was a big difference between them in terms of ability. And that doesn't always, that actually rarely comes across in an NFL game. And it struck me that that was happening in that Thursday night game when I was watching it. What has conceivably changed is you could argue Philadelphia is like different quantity now, basically, right? They had a first year head coach and a quarterback that had made very few starts. And as you get closer to the end of the year, it's pretty likely that team's going to look a little bit different. They have a great offensive line, which kind of gelled a little bit here. So they have a lot of things going for them. Is part of your liking of Philly is that you just think they're way different than maybe they were in that first game?
I think it's more just like, I think like the number's too big. Like it's just, I think that's pretty much it.
Like,
I think
but what it, like how inside. But how is it too big? So I mean, all right, if it's just about the number, so it's 6 on a Thursday night at Philly, and it's a little more than 7 now that we're in Tampa, and it's a playoff game. That's crazy off.
I think losing Godwin's a big deal in this game for Tampa Bay. Now maybe they're gonna be able to bomb it down the field. And also, I have another thought on this game as well. We can get back to the spread discussion. I also kind of like the over.
Okay.
Where
and that's you're docking Tampa. Which is probably, I mean, it has to be correct, right? Like skill position players aren't going to be as good necessarily. Now we should get an injury report here, right? And figure out exactly what Tampa's going to look like in this game. I mean, Evans gets hurt 7 different times yesterday, basically, and catches 2 touchdowns.
Tens so I have no idea what his deal is. Still was awesome in the game.
Right. So I have no idea what his deal is. My guess, and now I have not read any updates today, but like Shaq Barrett was supposed to come back for the playoffs. Like, is that in line to happen still?
I think we're probably waiting for that as well.
Right. So it's also interesting in terms of where's the number likely to go. I feel like we're not going to get a surprising injury report from the Eagles, I feel like, right? That seems pretty unlikely just off the top of my head based on what we've heard.
They sat their guys here, they activated a bunch of players off the COVID list here. Doesn't this feel like a game where Brady just drops back to pass like 50 times? And I don't think they're going to run
that could be describing every Tampa playoff game this year, honestly. I mean, it really could just because of how we know how they played in the playoffs previously and like play to your strengths, basically.
I think Philly's going to be forced to air it out in this game, and I think they can have some success in doing so and get this game over the total. Now, I haven't like made any bets yet. This is kind of where my head is at. Bucks teaser legs, I feel like, also would make a bunch of sense here. Getting Tampa just to win the game by 3 points or more, I kind of like as well.
So if you're interested in Philly against the spread, I guess, like, what is the range of of liking them. This is anything over 7, you're pretty interested. Where, like, where's our stopping point for you with them?
I like 8.5, I think, with Philly.
Okay, so 8, 7.5. Now we're kind of just meh.
I think so. I think 8.5 would be the bet I would like to make with Philadelphia. But I want to talk about this more on the other side, and then we'll turn our attention to the Cowboys and the 49ers. Great game on Sunday afternoon.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Our pal, Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper, joins us 20 minutes from now to kick off hour number 3 on a magnificent football Monday. His favorite looks for Super Wild Card Weekend. But for now, we continue P squared, B squared, and we'll wrap up our conversation on the Eagles and the Bucks. Thinking about it during the break, maybe 10 would be a better entry point for Philadelphia, just like to clear all those numbers, getting it up to 10 here. I don't know if we're going to see that, but the number currently, again, Tampa -8.5. So Ken, like, your potential entry points for this game would be what? And then we can have a teaser conversation with Tampa, like levitating in the Wong zone, basically, right now.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I think the reason that's interesting now is that we mentioned the Eagles are unlikely to have an injury report that causes line movement. It doesn't mean there just can't be organic line movement. There's just interest in one side. But from an injury standpoint, which generally moves the number, it seems like Philly's unlikely to kind of waver in terms of what they're going to give us. But Tampa seems pretty likely to give us a lot from an injury standpoint. And almost all of it seems to be positive. Shaq Barrett, JPP, Leonard Fournette, Lavonte David, all possible to return this week. Now, remember, the Bucks suffered such a rash of injuries the last few weeks before the playoffs started. And in each case, Bruce Arians would tell us, well, he's going to be ready for the playoffs. Like, that's all how all of them were framed, except obviously for Chris Godwin, who's out for the season. So Scott Lynn, our producer, wrote in our chat during the last break that Arians said earlier today that Barrett, Pierre-Paul, and Fournette should be back this week. So I think we feel pretty good about that. And that Lavonte David will be a close call. So we'll kind of see how the official designations work. You could see something like questionable on David, and we have to kind of guess it out. So where is that more likely to send the number, right? So I kind of went back a little bit in the break, and I performed an exercise which I do sometimes, kind of just like create a range for what Tampa's rating has been this season and try to figure out, all right, if it's like peak Tampa or close to it, how is that team rated versus how current Tampa is rated? So like, where can the number get to, right? Like, that was like sort of the exercise. Like, if Tampa starts to get rated like the best version of themselves, which is possible even without Godwin, like, where do we get to here? I was able to get to 9.5, and between 9.5 and 10 was like how
I was actually going to say interesting, but yeah, somewhere in that range, right?
I think that's about the best I can do. Now, Philly has had such a range of ratings this year because to start the year, I don't think people thought Philly was very good. And so Philly's rating has improved over the course of the year because they're a new team with a new coach and basically a new quarterback. And I'm less likely to think that their rating is the average of all of those numbers. And it's more like they kind of are what they've been for the last 2 months, I guess I would say, and averaging that instead. So I don't know if we can get to 10 in this game. The line movement will be very interesting. Now, you mentioned an entry point. I think for me in this game, it's going to take something pretty seismic for me to just hop in and play the side, like just -110 something. Like, you know, do I need Tampa 7 to play Tampa? And I'm never going to get it.
Tampa 7, Philly 10.5.
10.5. Right. Yeah. Right. Those are easy. We're also never going to get either of them, in my opinion. It seems unlikely unless the injuries are crazy. Now, I think the other question, you wanted to have a teaser discussion. And the only thing I'm thinking about right now is, do the Tampa teaser legs have to go in right now? That's the only thing I'm thinking about, because the 8.5s might not be there once they tell you everybody's coming back. Now, I don't know that that's going to be true. Maybe you like Philly in the game. I think it's reasonable to assume that maybe I was on with Rob Pizzol last night, and I said, like, he mentioned 8.5, and he goes, oh, Philly's going to get bet at that number. So at least that gives you a tiny window into how a professional bettor, who he admittedly had not done his work on the games yet, but just his snap kind of knee-jerk reaction was, oh, that's going to get bet. Like, that's going to get bet by somebody.
That was my reaction too. But like, I think you made some great points though, talking about like, where's the number more likely to go? Like, once Tampa gets a favorable injury report, like, it's probably more likely to go up. So why not wait? Why not? I mean, like, in terms of,
if you like Philly,
wait, yeah, maybe you can get a 10. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility.
I mean, how many times this week are we going to hear this Eagles against over 500, under 500 team? I mean, it's just everything drives you toward Tampa being a bigger favorite than they have been previously, like that, even than you think about them based on what you're hearing about the game. So the only thing that I'm struggling with right now, have not put in a teaser on the game yet, most notably because I don't really have another leg that I want to put it with. And if there was another one dying out there, that if there was another one that was super obvious, the bet would probably be in the account already. But, you know, I've tried to kind of think my way through a couple. One of the games we have not gone over yet, like, I had an option, and I probably should have done it. I had an option to do a Tampa 2.5 with a Kansas City 6.5. And that's like probably going to end up going in if it's still there at the end of the show.
That
that's probably
still
the closest 12
and a half right now at Bet Rivers. Yeah. It's still KC 12 and a half. Like, I hate to say this, and like, I know you're not going to like this, but like, I kind of like Arizona a little in the game. Like, what about Arizona plus 10 and a half?
Yeah, if you could, yeah, if you have a, I think it's, we're between 4 and 4.5 in that game in a bunch of places. So if you have a 4.5, which Bet Rivers has.
I'm looking at the New York Bet Rivers, and I believe it's still.
Sure. Well, and I think at Bet Rivers, 4.5, and it's juiced a little bit. Now, it's worth noting for a teaser, the juice on that number does not matter. That's just the number that goes into the teaser calculations. So like juiced 4.5, yeah, that's another play. Take advantage of a teaser, right? Even though it's not a true 4.5, it's a juiced one. Yeah, get it up to 10.5 as long as the payout obviously matches what you're supposed to get for it. So I don't hate that leg if you have a 4.5 available for that. Patriots kind of concerned. I'd rather bet Bills money line, I think, than go the other way on an exotic bet in that game.
Agreed.
And we don't really have a lot else to work with Dallas sitting 3, 3.5. Like we don't have a lot of movable parts here in terms of creating teasers. So just the thing I'm most, honestly, of all the things going on in an NFL playoff game, because you'd be like, well, you like the Raiders, you want to bet them. Yeah, but like, I'm not thinking about that right now. Like, I'm pretty sure what I'm going to do and I'm not in a rush to do it. Great. That goes in the back of my head. The most obvious concern for the next 24 hours is, like, do Tampa teaser legs need to go in right now? Because they might just go away and then I have to figure out another way to play the game. Haven't decided yet, but I think I would encourage other people to think the same way. And is there another leg that you, the person listening, you do like? And Tampa is an ad. You can also put Tampa in and keep the leg open in some places, which is a way you can approach the teaser. So just some ways to think about it. With Tampa's injury report, I think the number is more likely to go up than down. These have been tough games for me to try to read line movement-wise, like my expectation. But just think about everything I said. Like, if you're listening to that, doesn't it seem like it's more likely to move toward Tampa if they're going to get all these players back? Seems likely to me.
I'm happy that we talked this through because I feel like waiting is a better option than betting the Philadelphia Eagles now, for sure.
It's possible. I don't want to say it with certainty.
I'm not saying it with certainty either. I'm just saying, like, in my opinion, like, I think that makes a lot of sense what you said. Like, you could
if
be
we,
wrong.
If we,
I mean,
if all of us knew where all the lines were moving, we'd all be rich, right? I mean, it's just really, it's if you could predict that kind of stuff, like, which way is the stock price going? Awesome. Okay, I'd be a trillionaire. Great. So, you know, that's just, it can be really tough to read these things sometimes.
You bet BetQL Network, Magnificent Football Monday, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley going through P2B2 Super Wild Card Weekend. The crown jewel of Super Wild Card Weekend, a rivalry renewed, whether it's Dwight Clark. We need Scott to do some kind of like voicer for this game later in the week. Like, he'll be in his element here. For Steve Young and Dwight Clark, Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin, it's the Cowboys hosting the 49ers. Dallas, the 3 seed. Gets out of the 4, and their reward is getting to host San Francisco. It's basically like a flat 3 right now, like close to minus 110 both ways here with Dallas and San Francisco. Dallas laying 3, total is 50.5. It's the best game of the weekend, pen, pencil, blood, or blank, Dallas and the Niners.
Whew, man, this is...
This is the other game I referred to, by the way, when we were talking about the Raiders.
I know, I know what you like in it, and I'm not even sure you're wrong. This is... the most fun game to handicap this week, I think, by far. And one of the reasons for that is it's not a previous meeting. So we are flying blind here a little bit in terms of a comparison between the two teams. These are also the two teams I would have to check, but they're at least two, or it's 1 and 2 or 2 of the top 3 that have improved the most rating wise since like week 2. Or like week 3. Dallas obviously went on that insane home field run where they blew out 3 straight teams. Their rating took off, never looked back, went up again about a month ago. And then the Niners rating has gone up, obviously. Now theirs is a little more explainable. They had a bunch of injuries. They weren't playing quite as well. And they've really taken off from a rating standpoint. And now they play each other. I think it makes it a really tough game to make a number on. If I apply like sort of a conventional, reasonable playoff home field for this game, I get to 3, but like closer to 3.5 than 3, I guess is what I get to. So I get like 3.4, basically. You and I talked earlier and I was like, ah, man, it gets to 3.5. Am I kind of interested in San Francisco? And then, you know, I thought about the game again and just like, I think so much uncertainty in it. I think this is really tough. So I have a couple other thoughts I can offer on the game, but it sounds like you're very excited to bet one side and I kind of know what side you like. So kind of walk me through why you like what you like here.
I like the Cowboys. So I like Dallas in the game. It has to be 3. I have zero interest in betting it at 3.5. So I want to ask you a question, actually.
Sure.
Is it more likely that this game goes up to 3.5, or does it come off 3 and go down to 2.5?
3.5 would be my answer.
Like, almost certainly?
Well, for the Niners, all of their injury hysteria seems to be resolved unless Garoppolo has a setback in practice this week, right?
And he looked awesome down the stretch of that game yesterday. Like, he looked great. As bad as he looked early, he looked really good late.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's like never going to win the award, but just like, is Deebo Samuel the best player in the league?
Do you know what? You saw what I tweeted yesterday, right? Like, he's not because he's not a quarterback. But what I tweeted was, he is the best pure football player in the league.
Should he win? And he won't win Offensive Player of the Year because he's not close to the records that the other two players are close to.
Well, I mean, Cup and Taylor will be. But yeah, but I was going to say something like, I think Kadarius Toney has that upside, but like, who cares? Doesn't matter.
Right.
But yes, but it's not just, I understand. Yes, I'm a Giant.
I'm so glad you said that. That was actually very funny. Yeah.
But like, I was like, well, because I'm thinking not only can Deebo is like one of the best running backs in the league. He's a wide receiver, by the way. He's one of the best wide receivers in the league. And he threw a pass yesterday and he looked like Aaron Rodgers throwing it. Like, that's where I'm like, Tony can do all of that too. Kadarius Toney doesn't matter. But yes, to your question, I think there's a chance Deebo Samuel might be the best pure football player in the league. Not the most valuable player because he's not a quarterback, but best pure player, I think he actually is.
And just the, like, not even the individual best matchups football in this game, but seeing like Deebo in this form and Parsons and Diggs all in a playoff game basically for the first time. Like, I know Samuel's like evolved a little bit. Like, just like, it's really cool. Like, a lot of the kind of young stars are basically in this game matching up against each other now. Like,
and a great rivalry. This is the summer all Madden special here.
When is the last time that they played in the playoffs?
Cowboys and Niners. It has to be a while. I mean, I don't think it's since
the 90s. Is it that mid-90s game, 48-28 San Francisco? Is that the last time they played in the playoffs?
That was the 1994 NFC Championship.
4 or 5, right? Yeah, okay.
1994.
I watched that at a Pizzeria Uno at a birthday party. Yep.
Nice. Yeah, Scott, I feel like I should know the answer to this question. I feel like that's the last time they've been in the playoffs. I don't think they have a playoff meeting since then, the Cowboys and Niners.
Yeah, I agree. I don't. Yeah, 115-96. 95, Scott telling us. 95. Yeah, so that's the season. That's 48-28. Yeah.
Cowboys had beaten them in the first two, and then the Niners went up 21-0. Dion pick six, and then held on to win the game 38-28.
Yeah. So in terms of this game, I don't blame you for liking Dallas. It's a little weird to see a team that the market has really loved the entire season, Dallas, who's I almost feel has been like not inflated in a lot of the games, but just rated like, if you use just the closing spreads, they're the best team in the league, by the way. They're better than Buffalo if you use the closing spreads for the teams, in my numbers, at least. And that ignores on-field performance. So like a team that the market views like that, with a playoff home field advantage and it's just three, that's sort of my intuitive angle in the game. That's not about making a number. It's just like knowing kind of how the market's viewed each team. Is it a little short? And I think your answer to that is yes.
I want to talk. We'll talk more about this, obviously, in the next hour of the show. We got to hit the other games as well for Super Wild Card Weekend. But on the other side, we'll talk Super Wild Card Weekend with our pal Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper, here on You Better You Bet.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
20 minutes from now, Joey Kanish is going to join us to give us his bets for the Natty tonight with Alabama and Georgia. Then we'll give you our bets to start the Power Hour next hour here on You Better You Bet, both for Bama, Georgia, and for the NBA, NHL, college basketball. All our bets, as per usual, in the Power Hour here on the BetQL Network. But for now, we get back to P squared, B squared. We left off with the Cowboys and the Niners. Ken, any closing thoughts there? And like, we'll talk about this game when you and I are back on the show coming up on Thursday. I'm off tomorrow. You're off on Wednesday. At three, I'm into Dallas. 3.5, I want nothing to do with this game. But at three, I feel like this is going to be a bet for me on the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't know if my number can be a lot of help for guiding me in this game, but I mentioned before our last handicapping break, of this game, that intuitively I just three seemed like Dallas to me. So I kind of agree with you. Whale brought up a good point, and it's how we've closed every game since this is Monday, after all, of talking about what is more likely to move the line, like, or in which direction is the line more likely to move, right? Up or down. And Whale mentioned Trent Williams is an impactful injury, which you actually feel like maybe could have a kind of a small impact on the point spread. Injury report in this game will be really interesting. With the Niners got all those secondary players off the COVID list. Garoppolo is obviously dealing with an injury, but we think he's going to be okay. You know, Trent Williams. And then for Dallas, like, seems like maybe all systems go from an injury situation in this game. Now, obviously, they held, you know, Diggs and, you know, another cornerback out in that game. Tyron Smith has been battling injury issues. So could be that injuries determine, do we stay three or do we go more than that? I think that'll be interesting. Not quite sure where we're headed here. Intuitively, I feel like Dallas three is a good bet, though. I think I agree with you.
A bet you want to put in now?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Honestly, I think I mentioned before, I think this is the most fun handicap for sure. I think part of that is just it's really difficult. I think it's a really difficult game to unpack. I feel way less confident about market movement in this game than maybe a couple of the other games.
All right, well, let's go to the next game, which Whale Capper said in our last segment is one that he doesn't want to bet on and one that he doesn't even want to watch. Yikes. As the Chiefs host the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know,
I want to watch it.
I'm very into watching it. That's just, look, you can feel that way. That's okay. I mean, I'm going to
watch it. It's the largest spread game, so it makes sense. It would be the one, like, if you had to pick which game you were the least interested in watching, am I less interested in watching this than Vegas Cincy?
I'm much more interested in Vegas Cincy.
Are you more interested in Eagles Tampa?
No, that's the game I'm least interested in.
Me too.
I think
probably the least for me, but it's close.
Also, like, I don't have a bet that I necessarily want to make on Bucks Eagles unless, like, I get a number I'm looking for. I feel like I'm going to get the number that I need to bet this game, and, like, it sucks, and I'll just say it right now. I think I'm going to bet the Steelers if the number gets to 13, and that is absolutely terrible.
What a depressing proposition, right?
Yeah, it really is. From the producers who brought you Steelers plus 10 at Arrowhead 2 weeks ago, bring you now Steelers plus 13 at Arrowhead. I don't know if you agree or not, but again, so KC beats them 36-10 a couple of weeks ago. Spread was 10. KC kills them. Game is, like, actually probably more of a blowout than the final score indicates. Was never even really close. My number in the game is in this range. We texted about this last night, in between 10.5 and 12.5. I think at 13, I feel like I have to bet Pittsburgh. And, like, it is horrendous to say that, but I feel like I'm going to do it. So what do you think here? Pen, pencil, blood, or blank, Steelers and Chiefs?
Yeah, there are certainly elements in this game of Alabama-Georgia and the handicap of that game. Whether you agree or disagree with how much the closing spread matters in a previous meeting between the teams, this game was in Kansas City. It was a few weeks ago. Kansas City dealt with some COVID issues going into that game. We weren't sure even on game day whether Travis Kelce was going to play. And Kansas City closed 10. And now we're in a playoff game. So you're like, all right, maybe a little bit more home field advantage for Kansas City. We don't appear to have the COVID issues during the week. Now there's an injury discussion here that needs to be had as well, but it's a little bit Alabama, Georgia ish. It's not the same, but it's like a recent meeting where the number closed a certain way. Can you make enough excuses for the team that you want to come back and, like, play the over adjustment? So the Chiefs win by a lot and the week should be figured to be more normal health wise. That's why it exists in a larger space with added home field advantage. So, like, when I run this in my computer, especially before I adjust for home field, like, the previous number close 10, I'm going to get really close to 10. I was like 9.8. Like, I mean, I was like right on the number again, basically, of the previous close, playoff home field, the way the previous meeting went. That's obviously how we get to, like, a slightly bigger number. I'm with you where it's like, well, what do you want to bet in this game? My answer would be nothing. It's like, okay, well, you have to bet the game. What do you do? Be like, Pittsburgh, I guess.
What do you need to bet them?
Actual money or just like, what would I bet if I had to?
No, what do you need to bet actual money on Pittsburgh? 14.5?
14, I definitely would put a bet in.
Not 13.
This is where it's like, I'm supposed to, but I still don't want to. I just don't want to, so I'm not going to.
Well, I mean, I don't really want to either, but it's also like the Sunday night.
There's no rule that you have to play these awful teams in these situations if the number gets away from you. You could just not bet them. You could also do that.
But what fun. It's the playoffs. I mean, this is me talking. I'm not saying everyone
hear me out.
I want to bet the game. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Chiefs plus a half.
Oh, baby.
And I'm serious, like, this is the teaser that I talked about in the previous segment that I haven't put in yet, but I'm like, does this need to go in the account pronto? And that's Chiefs
under
through
seven.
10-7 to 6.5.
Amazing.
Chiefs 6.5 with Tampa 2.5. That's available right now. That's a teaser that could be put in right now.
I actually got some tweets from people that have put that in.
I don't blame anyone for wanting to bet that. It is quite possible. I'm doing some work on the national championship game and props and stuff. So I just haven't put the bet in yet, but I'm like, I think it's going in by the end of the night. Like, I think it's going to go in soon. Cause I just unsure about where these numbers are headed. And, like, I think I want to be in on these two bets. Let's say I don't get, like, the best teaser number imaginable. I think I'm still okay with that. Getting these numbers in this game. Like, I think I'm still okay. Like, oh, you could have gotten 2 with Tampa or you could have gotten 6 with Kansas City, which would actually be kind of interesting. I think I'd still be okay with my bets in that situation. So like, that's honestly like, what's my approach to betting the game? That teaser leg with Kansas City is a little interesting. Using them in the monster is actually pretty interesting. You don't frequently get a playoff game like this to use a monster number like this. And yeah, you're going through some stupid numbers at the end, but to be able to just wipe away this number is no different than every casual bettor in Vegas this weekend that's absolutely going to have Chiefs money line in every single money line parlay that they do. And they're not wrong. Spread-wise, though, number says Pittsburgh for something, and I might ignore it, honestly, or wait longer or need more. That's kind of how I approach the game.
Is there a path? Talked about this with the Colts and Jaguars last week, and you were like, yeah, Carson Wentz turns it over a million times. Well, it's Carson Wentz, not Patrick Mahomes. But we have seen games where the Chiefs just turn it over like crazy this year.
Sure.
Is there a path where the Steelers... I don't want to say live means like they could win the game. I don't think they can win the game, but is there a path where like this game is like, is close and it's like, and we're in the fourth quarter and there's a little doubt as to who's going to win.
I mean, yes. So like, if we look at like games, the Steelers have won this year where we would feel like, okay, well, if they do that, we've seen that. It's not apples to apples, but like, because like they were able to beat Buffalo because Josh Allen was terrible, but other things that happened.
Josh Allen was terrible. It was that T.J. Watt rocked
T.J. Watt. That sounds like a player from like Newton League football.
T.J. Watt rocked his world in that game.
And right, well, so like the Bills' offense did not play very well. Now that part of that was the Pittsburgh defense. Pittsburgh also got a special teams touchdown in that game, which was like the most important play of the game by far. So cool. How can they be competitive in the game? Turnovers and special teams. Like that's like an easy answer to the question, right? If they're plus two in turn, like Mahomes' first 10 weeks of the year had no problem giving it to the other team. Like, so how can Pittsburgh be competitive? Be plus three in turnovers, win special teams. That'll be tied in the fourth quarter, or they'll be winning.
I'm betting the Steelers at 13. I'm just saying, I'm betting Pittsburgh.
It's just the tough part is...
And I'll monster Kansas City as well.
The tough part is when you look at some of the other data points for Pittsburgh this year, where you're like, ooh, like there's another one where it didn't go great. Another one. There's another one where it didn't go great. Like I had them against Green Bay.
Well, six and
you
and
just
a half,
you don't want to be in that spot. They had a chance to backdoor the game. Like, you just, do I want to be in that? Because I think that's the spot that we're going to be in this game. Around the number, late, what happens? And we have a bunch of games where I'm like...
And we have a gargoyle.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you got gargoyle quarterback who's playing in 10-degree weather. Like, is but that like, where I want to be in this game?
I think maybe... Ben's one of these guys where, like we saw it in the closing moments against Baltimore, where I feel like in the big moment like this, with like... I don't even know if it would be career on the line, so maybe it would be like, it wouldn't matter because they wouldn't be playing to win. They'd be playing to cover the spread, and like they don't care about that. But I think I would actually have confidence in Ben in a spot like that to get us over the finish line.
What a remarkable thing to say. No, I know. It's just a remarkable thing to say. It's so funny. I think that, yeah, Whale joked. He's like, well, I don't really want to bet this game. Like, I do, but I don't want to bet it conventionally, I guess would be the right way to approach it. Like, yeah, I want to use Kansas. I want to tease Kansas City a little bit and put it with some other stuff. And I want to be done with the game. I think that's like kind of how I want to approach it. Like, as you know, if it was really competitive in the fourth quarter, is that out of the realm of possibility? No. In any football game, it's not. I gave you a bunch of the reasons why that's the case. Just how would I rather play it? So I think volume wise, probably not a lot going on here for me. But finding a couple ways to play Kansas City paired with some other things on the board, probably just like a really not unique, like the easiest approach to come up with imaginable, but one that I don't think is wrong.
Now hear me out. Raiders plus 19 and a half.
Don't you dare say Steelers 25 and a half.
I will go the other way there. Kansas City, yes, basically you. To win the game. Kansas City basically. And because we monstered, I think I had a monster with the Steelers in that game and they lost against Kansas City. Right.
It can't happen again. Be like, don't overthink this. please don't overthink this.
Of course. What about Dallas to plus 10 at home? I'd rather do that than San Francisco 16.
I agree with that. I'd rather do the over. We talked about the total in that game already.
Oh, so what, over 36 and a half?
Yeah, I think you still get 37 right now. Because it's 50, right? Is that the total?
Oh, okay. It may have moved. Yeah, when I wrote it down before, it may have been something else.
Yeah. All right, so it's going to be like 37, 38, something like that.
Because I want to pair the last. I want to put the last game in the monster teaser also, and that is going to be Monday Night Football.
Oh man, I think I do, but I want to do it stupidly. I want to go through zero and out the other side.
So you want to do Rams plus 9?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, Arizona wrecked them earlier in the season in Los Angeles, 1-21. I'm not saying that you can't win. So right now the Rams are 4.25 in between 4 and 4.5. Total is 50.5. Obviously, it's the third time they played this year. Both teams won on the other's home stadium. Most recently, the Rams, a 30-23 win on Monday Night Football. We both had the Rams in that game. It was awesome. I can never get to this number. Also, I said with you and Whale, two conservative head coaches. I actually think that favors the underdog, and I hate Cliff Kingsbury, oatmeal for brains. I'm not like making a case that I like Cliff in the game, just that I think Sean McVay is incredibly overrated as an in-game coach, and I think that favors the whoever the underdog is. In this case, it happens to be Cliff. I'm going to bet Arizona at 4 or better in this game. That's my buy point for Arizona.
Okay. It is possible that we will be on opposite sides at some point in this game. It is impossible that we will be on the same side. I think I'm on the opposite side of the fence here from a number standpoint. I'm pushing bet the Rams actually from a number standpoint in this game. So I'm not crazy off at all. My number in the game is 5. That's my number for the Rams. And I think part of that is a continued downgrade to Arizona's rating in that I haven't gotten to their number on a close in like 5 weeks. And it's caused me to have some big enough situations where I bet them. Dallas would be the only one where I've had them. But even like Seattle didn't get to the number. Dallas didn't get to the number. I think Indy was the COVID game the week before that, but I think I didn't get to the number the week before. So anyway, just like look backwards and backwards and backwards. Detroit didn't get to the number, had Detroit in the game against them. That was more like intuition about the type of game it was for people that are confused. So like I've had to lower Arizona. And what that is coupled with is something that I mentioned the Eagles over 500, under 500 conversation, which you're going to hear a lot of about them. You're not going to be able to listen to this game for 2 seconds without hearing about how bad Arizona's been down the stretch and how bad Kingsbury's been down the stretch in every single season of his coaching career. And it's been demonstrated that whether it was in college or the NFL, down the stretch of every single season that he's ever played, the team's been abysmal, and that has continued this year. And is that the type of team that you would like to bet in this situation? I mean, I'm not.
Did beat Dallas in Dallas. Like, that did happen.
It did. And what would your next favorite memory be?
That would be the only one.
Correct. Losing to Detroit outright as a 14 favorite, would that be
probably losing in Detroit because we had the Lions in that game would be the next one.
Right. And then Indy having a bunch of players out and still being unable to beat them in a Saturday.
Yeah, I would rather not talk about Christmas, please.
Okay. Well, you wanted to bring up Dallas, and we did bet Arizona in that game. So I think what you're seeing a little bit in this number, you mentioned you couldn't get to the number. I know what you mean. But I also think part of what's happening here is like a continued degrading of Arizona's rating as they've gone through the stretch, and it's become more believed that this team is like sort of something different at the end of the year than they were throughout.
I might just sound like the dead wrong side of some of these games.
This is just my opinion. I'm not going to be the person of authority, but to me, I think you're on the dead wrong side of this game. The other ones, I think you're fine, actually.
Wow, so I'm dead.
Dallas, I think you're right, to be honest, just intuitively. I think you're on the wrong side of this game.
And then we like the Raiders.
Yes. Well, we're on the same side. We have to agree there. Yeah.
We kind of agree with the Steelers, and like I think our heads are in the same place betting the Tampa Philly game.
Mm-hmm. It's just this one.
Okay. Joey Kanish joins us right after this, giving us plays for the national title game.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts,
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for real.